The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez, and we are back.
About time.
Yeah, we've been out for quite a while.
Yeah.
As you probably know, no matter where you're listening to, you know that we are in Reading, and that Reading is currently on fire.
Yes, that's an accurate statement.
So we have the car fire, which is still burning. It started on July 23rd. And it is now August 14th, and it is 65% contained, but it is still going. Thankfully, it's no longer endangering homes. It's mostly in the wilderness now.
It's what, 65% contained, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it just topped 200,000 acres, so it's a big one. It's not as big as the Mendocino fire, but that one wasn't as tragic because it didn't have as many home losses, but... Here in Reading, we suffered over 1,000 homes were lost, and so yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah.
We have not been able to catch up on anything. We have not been able to have new shows, but we are back
to today. Talk about whatever. We're gonna fill in time. That's how it works.
We're actually gonna talk about things we are still technically behind on because
yes.
We haven't finished watching them yet.
And how that works is we started these things, but we never finished. All the way through.
We have intention to.
Oh, absolutely.
We plan to finish these things. We just haven't yet because we are a little behind.
Yeah, but that fire's been crazy.
Yes.
Like, I'm still doing... I work at a TV station, and so I'm still doing work that revolves around these special reports and the wall-to-wall coverage of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, it's pretty intense. We've had friends who have lost their homes, mm-hmm. and we actually had a few days where we were housing displaced friends who were evacuated. Mm-hmm. And we have one of those displaced friends with us today, Mr. Kevin Shoemaker.
Hello.
Now, your home is safe.
Yes.
And you are back in it.
Yes, very thankful for that.
But you did have the weekend sleepover at the Gomez compound, as it came to be known.
I did, and it was rather relaxing, all things considered.
Well, good. Nothing like eating spaghetti and watching 24-hour news coverage.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Hey, we know how to party.
Okay.
Anyway, so before we get into the shows we are behind on, we do need to talk about something we are so not behind on that we are ahead on that we've seen way too much. No, not way too much, just the right amount, if not too less. Of times. So, last week, right?
This is a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants thought, isn't it?
Whatever. So, last week on our rerun, we talked about Teen Titans Go.
Right.
And how much we loved the show.
And we did that little live thing right beforehand to say that it was a rerun.
Right. And so, on that show, we talked about the TV show and how much we loved it, and we said, oh my gosh, they're making a movie. And we hadn't known that yet. It was breaking news to us. And so, last weekend... We went and saw said movie.
Well, now it's been like two...
It has been 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks now.
So,
because of the fire.
Right, but we didn't see it the first weekend
we
had planned.
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks.
So not only did we see the movie, we saw the movie 4 times in the matter of a week.
Yes.
Because we saw it Friday night, and then we saw it again Friday night, because it was so amazing we had to turn around and go right back into the theater.
Yes.
Then we had friends to see it on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to see it on Tuesday because it was the last showing at the theater.
Yes.
Because our theater is currently going through a renovation, and so half their theaters are blocked off, so movies aren't staying around very long. But, oh my gosh, this movie was amazing. And, Kevin, I'm so sorry you weren't able to go with us because this movie is amazing.
I am also pretty saddened by it, particularly because I thought I would have more time to go see it because I fully intended on going to see it myself because I knew... You guys had been talking about it nonstop, and
I went
and checked the theater showings, and I was definitely filled with dismay.
Well, hopefully it will turn up at our cheap theater, our discount theater, where old movies go for a second life because it's super cheap. It used to be a dollar theater, but it's not that anymore.
So Kevin looks pretty sad.
Well, you know,
You know what he needs?
I do. I do know what he needs.
What you need? You need an upbeat, inspirational song about life.
Yeah,
are you
do.
Feeling down? Like you just can't do it today.
I can see your frown, but it's all gonna be okay.
Just believe in yourself. There's no giving up. The power's inside.
Oh, Kevin, it gets better. Tell me if you can recognize this artist. Hold on.
That one.
Is this the rapper that did a solo work for the movie?
No, that was Yachty.
Okay.
No.
Oh!
Yeah. Who is that, Kevin?
Oh, God. I'm having a mental breakdown because I know the artist, but the name is not sticking up in my head. He was with the Lonely Island. He did a collaboration with them.
He did the Jack Sparrow song.
Michael.
Yes.
I'm so spacing. I can't remember it.
It's in your head somewhere, right? It's rattling around somewhere.
It's there. I know who it is. I just don't remember what
it's rattling around somewhere in your nut up there. Somewhere
you
in your
need a wrench.
What?
You need a wrench.
Okay. Now I'm getting mixed messages.
To bolt it down.
There we go. Michael Bolton.
There you go.
Yes,
this is one of the the brilliant parts of this movie. So,
oh, that was in the film?
That's in the movie.
Oh, of course you guys love this.
This movie is a musical.
Of course it is.
And every song is amazing. And I will give a semi-spoiler. I was a little disappointed that The Night Begins to Shine was not in the movie.
Oh, because three episodes was not enough.
I was expecting it to be in the credits, at least, but it wasn't. But Chris made a good point that it has such special powers in their universe that you can't really use it too much. So.
You can't use it. You have to use it judiciously because anything with that much awesome.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So I forgive them. But if you have ever seen a superhero movie, and regardless of if you like superhero movies or not, if you love them, if you hate them, see this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best commentary on superhero movies
ever.
Ever.
And
ever.
Easily the best DC movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, granted, that's not saying much, but...
But this whole thing is about how they all get their own movies. So,
yeah.
It would be so awesome. It would be so cool. It would be the most incredible superhero movie the world has ever seen. The screens would light up with real explosions and special effects. Like tons and tons of special effects. My super sweet cape would be special effects.
I like the chorus.
It would blow your mind. Cause it's my movie.
Yeah, it's so yeah. It's an hour and a half. It's like it's nothing. So it's actually an hour and 24 minutes. It's not even an hour and a half.
It's so good.
So worth seeing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're talking about things that we are behind on because we haven't finished.
Right.
We're starting to get there, but we're not quite.
Because
there.
We spent too much time watching Teen Titans Go.
Four times.
Hey, as soon as it comes out, I'm watching it again.
Yeah.
I will never not watch this movie. If this movie is on TV, I will watch it. If someone says, hey, do you want to watch? Yes, I do.
I fully anticipate that even if it doesn't hit the dollar theater, the moment that it becomes available on Blu-ray, I will be invited to the household to sit down and watch it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a given.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so.
So, we are going to talk about one of the ones. Let's go with... Let's go with Black Mirror, because we haven't watched a lot of those.
We have not. We are behind on Black Mirror, which is a series that came out in 2011, so we are quite behind. Kevin, have you watched Black Mirror at all?
I have, actually. I am on episode 4 of season 3.
Ooh, you are a lot farther than us.
Yes.
We are...
I think episode 2?
Season 2? We made it to season 2.
We know, right? Yeah, I made it to season 2, because that's the Hayley Atwell one.
Yeah, so we are on episode 2 of season 2.
Gotcha.
But I am loving this show.
Sorry. Pushing buttons over here.
I'm loving this show. So it's a British show on Netflix, And it is, it's a modern day Twilight Zone.
Absolutely. 100%. With all the rise in technology of the 21st century, it's this modern redux of the Twilight Zone that's especially affecting in this society that we have.
No, actually, the modern redux of Twilight Zone is going to be the Twilight Zone. Did you hear that they're making the Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele?
I had heard that, and I'm very curious to see what it does to differentiate itself from Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Because Black Mirror really has fit that niche, at least
I'm going to say that it's going to take on more social issues, like, you know, racial issues, social commentary, whereas Black Mirror is very much all about technology.
Absolutely.
So is that a trend that keeps up in the show, is that technology is kind of the crux of it?
100%.
Okay.
It's a theme that never really leaves the show, mm-hmm. and it's really astounding what they kind of do with the different elements that they bring in and introduce and the mm-hmm. way that they tell their stories.
Well, and that's mm-hmm. the whole point of the title, Black Mirror, is when you have a turned off screen,
yeah.
then it becomes a Black Mirror.
I think the new Twilight Zone will be a little more broad in its themes. But I love the episode one of season two, which is the episode where Haley Atwell is married to Domhnall Gleeson and he dies,
yes.
and she downloads his personality. There's a service where it will take all of his social media posts and create an AI mm-hmm. based on him. And so she starts texting with this AI of her dead husband. And then you can upgrade and get the voice activated model. And so he will talk to her and then upgrade again. And you can get an android that looks just like this person and talks like this person. And it sounds super creepy. And it was kind of, but it was so heartbreaking. I was just sitting there sobbing the whole time. It was so beautifully done.
Oh, I am deeply excited for when you guys get to the episode San Chupinero. It is... Because Black Mirror is definitely a foreboding series. It's dark. It's kind of depressing. Almost every episode ends with tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But San Junipero is actually, or Junipero, I forget how it's actually pronounced. But that particular episode is actually, like, heartwarming. It's really one of the most wholesome episodes of the entire
Christmas
series.
Episode.
Well, you say that, and yet one of the best episodes is White Christmas, which is easily one of its most disturbing.
Oh. Well, the first
even more disturbing than the pilot, because that one was pretty disturbing.
The
national anthem.
Which is, to sum up really quick on how that episode goes, the princess of Wales is kidnapped. And so the person who kidnaps doesn't want ransom. They want to humiliate the prime minister. And so he's forced to go on live TV and make sure that you can't doctor this photos, you know, this video. And he has to have relations with a pig.
Yeah. The idea...
That's the best I can put it. Cleanly.
Yeah. I loved watching that episode, despite how absolutely grotesque it was, because mm-hmm. Like, everyone likes to go see horror films at different times, you know, and sometimes that thrill, that rush, that catharsis is something that we all look for. And Black Mirror, for me, is a show that because I have a relatively happy life, and I'm very fortunate to have a relatively happy life, I don't ever have to find myself in terrible, awful situations where bad things happen. And Black Mirror lets me look into what that world is and all that kind of potential tragedy and admire how well of a story can be crafted with this really, you know, sad and bizarre ending.
Do you feel it's a cautionary tale?
I think a lot of the Black Mirror episodes could be construed as being cautionary, for sure. I think there's a lot of ways that technology can be manipulated, and the way that we interact with it can be viewed very negatively. There's an episode later in the seasons where a girl's social standing is entirely dependent on how many people essentially give her upvotes. So society entirely is revolved around how personable and polite and perfect you can make yourself. And it happens just like when you like a post on Facebook. So imagine you have to live your entire life, and whether you get a really good deals on buying a new house or a new car is not dependent on your credit score, but dependent on how well people like you.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, it's one of the things that the show really delves into, and it provides
But when you think about it, that's kind of how we're going in society right now with these social media celebrities, which really they're only celebrities because they're on social media and they have so many likes, and you can buy likes and followers, and that gets you more of a status, and then you can be paid by advertisers on your site. So we're kind of already there. It's just not for everybody.
And we're not too far off also from that too, with every business you have. Oh, like us on so-and-so and get, I mean, even right down to like a fast food restaurant, you know, like us on Facebook, you get a free apple pie or something, you know, and it's along those lines. So yeah, getting a deal on a house or something doesn't seem that far off if you have good likes because, you know, you like them on Facebook, you do all these things, you interact with them on this.
Completely different subject. Did you know that we're a little behind us on Facebook? Go on, give us a like.
Yeah, actually, it's true.
If you do so, you will not
retail.
If you do so, you will not receive a free apple pie.
No.
But you will get to see Walby, who is adorable.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But yeah, and then I think the season finale of the 3-episode season of season one was I really liked that one. It was the one with the memory implant in the, so everything you see is stored into like a very small little hard drive in the back of your head, right. And you can access it at any time and then play it back on kind of like a glorified Chromecast,
yeah,
to where you're just like throwing it up on your TV. And
it's perfect recall.
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah,
and the way that the main character obsesses over going back into the past and over analyzing every decision and every interaction that the people around him make. Yeah, that really fascinating episode. Mm-hmm.
That was really good. And I think it's so real. Like, that's exactly what would happen if we had that, if that was real, if we could actually implant something in our eyes and in our brain to capture things like that. Exactly what happened in that episode is what would happen in real life.
More than likely.
There's no doubt in my mind that it would be used that way and people would obsess over it. And then I really liked that there was the one character who said, yeah, I don't have it. And everyone's like, what? Why? And because I want to live in the moment.
Well, it was stolen from her, too, though, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right.
Hers was stolen. She just didn't want it back. Replaced. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is in itself is scary to think that someone's cutting this thing out of your head.
Is that the next phase of identity theft? So you can just like take the hard drive and then like visualize and memorize all their passwords and everything. You know what I mean? Just you have access to it. So instead of stealing it online, you're just stealing it straight from their head. Like, okay, she typed in this number. She typed in this.
Yeah, it also brings a wildly different definition to thought police.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That's being called in and providing your witness testimonial by just replaying your exact memories in full detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... It's so weird.
So scary, but yeah, it's such a good show.
So
good show.
I definitely recommend it. We're looking forward to watching more. We just need to find the time when we're not watching four showings of Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
It's only like an extra long episode of a TV show. It was only an hour and 24 minutes.
Yeah, the show in sort of preparing to come on here because you guys invited me, I was looking at some of the episodes and trying to sort of remember it because I haven't finished it either, but I stopped partway through at some point and just haven't gone back in like over a year or something. And rereading everything and sort of rediscovering all the cool storylines has made me really interested in picking back up again. So when we leave here, I will probably rewatch the episode that I'm stuck on because I made it to the last like 10 minutes of the episode.
When I leave here, I got to go to rehearsal. I'm directing a play.
There you go.
And that takes up all of my time.
I also like all the people they have on it. Like they have some pretty big names.
Oh yeah, Jon Hamm comes on later in season 3 in the episode White Christmas.
Jon Hamm comes on for a lot of things. So
Jon Hamm is amazing.
Remember when he showed up on Last Man on Earth for exactly 37 seconds?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but to be fair, there's a lot of stars that show up on Last Man on Earth for 37 seconds.
I'm already missing that show, and I don't like that they left it.
Yeah, that one's tough. But yeah, so this show, it's so far, it's been super fun.
So next up, we got to just watch more of these. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think it's time for us to take a break.
All right, let's take a break.
We will get to what next? We're doing Sherlock?
And American Horror Story.
Ooh. All right. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Redding.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Kevin Shoemaker.
Yay!
And we just got done talking about Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are going to be talking about Sherlock.
Yes, we are a little behind on Sherlock.
Yes, we're going around the world to get to these British shows.
Yes, we're...
Kevin likes what I did there.
Yeah. That's one way of putting it into perspective.
So, yeah, Sherlock. We are three seasons and a movie in.
Yes. Wait, movie?
Yeah.
The Abominable Bride.
Oh, that's right. I remember nothing about that.
Really?
On Netflix, it's part of season three.
I remember we went and saw it, but that's all I remember. Is that when he, like, stood up and made the best man speech? And...
No, that's season three. Season three, right?
Yeah. Episode two of season three.
That's what I thought. Yeah. No. Okay, you're going to kick yourself for saying you don't remember. The Abominable Bride is the one where he has, like, that fever dream type of thing, and it takes them back to Victorian times to where actual Sherlock Holmes was supposed to take place.
Oh, that's right.
That was really cool.
The period piece.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Only slightly. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, Sherlock.
So it's one of those shows, the British shows that have weird seasons, because they don't have seasons, they have series.
Yeah, series one, series two, series three.
So when they have a series finale, it's actually the season finale, what we would think of as a season finale.
I can't wait for you guys to discover how weird they do things in Japan with their seasons.
Oh, good lord!
So how does the British ones end their series? Is it just, it's no longer a series finale? Is it just show death?
Show death. That's what I want it to be.
Oh my!
Because that's amazing. And so there's four series, even though IMDb is an American website because they still listed it as seasons. Mm-hmm. There's four episodes per season?
Three. Yeah, season three is kind of the weird one on Netflix. Because
it has the movie.
Yeah, The Abominable Bride is featured as an episode of that one. But it's typically three episodes per series.
It's like series 3.5.
Oh, okay. Because I'm looking at season one, and it has an unaired pilot added on. So that's why I was confused.
That's okay.
But there's series are short, and they're very far apart, right? Because season one came out in 2011, and then season two came out the next year. So there's a year between each one, right?
And then they're like, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch is a huge star. Now we need to make him have no time to do these anymore.
Yes, Bender Crick, Cucumber Snatch.
Yeah, it's a really good show. It's really well done. He's a very good Sherlock.
I've read the Sherlock Holmes stories, and I love the fact that they're able to tell the exact same story, just updated.
Mm-hmm.
So the study in Scarlet is then the study in Pink, and then it's all about, and then it has to do with like cell phones and all these things. It's like really cool, and they don't sacrifice the story to update it, which is really cool.
One of my favorite things about this version of Sherlock is the other most modern rendition of Sherlock, I think, is the Robert Downey Jr. films.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important things for a detective story in a film media, either film or TV show, is letting the audience be participatory to the discovery of solving the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes, Sherlock tells you what all of his secrets were, what he discovered, and how he was able to figure out the big villain scheme. In the Sherlock TV show, for the first few seasons at least, you get to discover the information alongside Sherlock. So you're not really waiting for the story to explain itself to you. You're kind of watching and gathering the information as the characters are, and it's a little bit more gratifying when you're making the same realizations as Sherlock the super genius at the same time, as opposed to just waiting until he gets around to explaining the point, which, you know, actually, strangely, is kind of how the books go.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really well done. And I love Martin Freeman. He's amazing, and he's in everything. And he's a really good Watson.
I think the best, though, is by far the best Moriarty is in the show.
Andrew Scott. Say yes. Mm-hmm. I think he's definitely the most interesting take.
Absolutely. On the villain. I mean, because Moriarty's an interesting character in himself. He's smart. He's clever. He is the yin to the yang that is Sherlock. But in this one, like, Sherlock is obviously on the spectrum, and so he has, you know, not only the being on the spectrum, but he's also got personality disorders. He's got, like, a whole bunch of things.
He is a high-functioning sociopath.
Yeah. Whereas I'm pretty sure that the yin to the yang is now Moriarty, who's a high-functioning psychopath.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because he is crazy in this, and it's so...
Completely unhinged.
Yeah. And it was it season two, right, where Moriarty... Because season one, he reveals himself at that public pool.
Yes.
And then in the second season or series finale, it's the one where that left us for like 3 years where...
The Reichenbach fall.
Yeah, where Holmes jumps off the building.
Yeah.
And is...
To emulate the original ending of the
Reichenbach fall.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah. Where they actually go over the waterfall.
Yeah.
It's done so well. And I love the fact that they don't follow it perfectly. They tell the same story, but they tell it in a reimagining. So you were hanging on for, what, 3 years? Was it 3 years? I think it was 3 years.
Between two and three?
Yeah.
At least two.
Let's see. Yeah. No, for between two and three was just 2011 to 2012.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wait, really? No, mm-hmm. That can't be right.
Okay, hold on.
That is not correct.
Season two. Oh, okay, no. Season 2, Episode 3 was in May of 2012.
Okay.
And season 3, Episode 1 was, January of 14. So
okay,
it was 2 years.
2 years. And they left you there. And you didn't know how it was going to end, even if you read the books.
Yeah.
That was, because you're like, how did they do this? And, yeah.
And that also turned into some of the audience speculation being sort of addressed by the show. You know, the creators were so enamored with the amount of work that fans put into trying to discover sort of the secrets of the show and figuring out how Sherlock did it, that they kind of incorporated that, which was a lovely little touch. I want to go back to something that you said, Chris, though, about it being true to the source material but different. I also 100% agree. I think the show is at its best when it's sort of replicating the original source material, but changing it and sort of tilting it on its head ever so slightly. You know, the particular bit about how the woman is writing Raish in on the ground in her blood, and in the original, it's the mortician is saying, oh, well, it's probably, he's trying to write the name Rachel, but he goes, no, clearly it's the German word for revenge, and in the season premiere, or the series premiere, it's the inverse, the guy's overanalyzing, and he goes, no, you idiot, it's Rachel. But another thing, you mentioned the cell phones, and one of the things that I love most about Sherlock is that it, in my thought, has the single best depiction of visualizing texts in a story. Because, like, there's a lot of movies and TV shows that feature texting, and it's kind of limp when you're watching it and you're suddenly cutting to the screen of a camera phone and this camera has to zoom in on it, and it's always slightly taking you out of the story because you're kind of like having to address what the screen says or someone's reading it aloud. But having the text pop up on next to the character, and it's a really seamless way of integrating the technology without taking away from the story, which is, I think, something that they took a lot of time and effort to do.
Mm-hmm. I also like it that way because it's, I mean, obviously texts don't do that. They don't fly out of your phone and float by your head.
Right.
But you buy into it. You know, you're suspending your disbelief because this is what that person is experiencing. So, okay, this is how they're going to show it to me. But when they actually show it on the phone, I'm like, that's not what that would look like.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how phones look because they always have to do them in post-production. So you're never actually seeing the phone. You're like, that's just wrong.
And it's not like the characters are watching the text fly out of their phones.
Right.
You actually do get to see them look at their phones and react to the text as you would normally be able to see them from an outside perspective. You also just get to read the text that's sort of floating right next to their head, so you get to be participatory.
Right. Yeah, I also really enjoy the way they do that. It's really nice. Yeah, overall, it's a very well put together show.
Yes, it's highly rated and very deservedly so, although I think there may be some people who really overrate it, like that, because everyone says it's such an amazing thing. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best thing ever, but it is really good worth worth watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's
absolutely.
And we're behind. We still have to get to.
We have not watched season 4 yet.
Yeah,
so the most recent season.
And the reason being is that, like, I think it's the same reason why I don't get to a lot of things is that they're movie length.
So you have
to sit down.
Long.
It's like watching. You're sitting down and committing to a trilogy. Every time you watch a season.
Hilarious that you would say that around me, given that my favorite films are The Lord of the Rings, so, you know.
Which I still haven't gotten around to.
I know. This is something that has to be fixed.
You realize that you being on here and the Lord of the Rings is the equivalent of saying, sorry, Matt Damon, we ran out of time on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show.
Yeah, it's basically been sort of one of the cornerstones of our friendship.
Yeah.
I think it's often been a joke that I'm really only continuing to hang out with you until you watch them, so I can get your opinion and spread the germ, and then I'm just like, all right, I'm out.
I would like to point out...
He's like, I have a job offer in New York, but I can't leave yet.
I'd like to point out that an episode of Sherlock is 4 minutes longer than the entire Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
You are really on this, aren't you?
Well, you said it's movie length, and it's true. It is movie length.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's at least 90 minutes per episode, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So eventually, we have them. We just haven't watched them yet.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
We went and saw the Abominable Bride in theaters when they did that Fathom event. Mm-hmm. So that was the last thing we saw, and then we were like, oh, it comes out the next day or something, or maybe a month later, I don't know.
It
was pretty soon after, and we were like, okay, so we recorded them all on PBS, and we're like, all right, so it's on our DVR.
And
I'm really glad DVRs are not, like, physical environments, because there'd be so much dust all over all the furniture on my DVR.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and our Chelsea Bailey, who's on our show quite a bit, she wants to dress up as something for Halloween, but won't tell us what it is because it's somehow tied into season 4, and she can't tell us anything because then she'd tell us everything.
I asked if she wanted to be on today's show, and she said no because I'm afraid I will give away secrets to season 4. She's good about the spoiler alert, so yeah. She's good. So we will get to it eventually.
I am very curious to see what your guys' reactions are to season 4 because I think it's fair to say, without being very spoilery, that it is contentious. I think there's a lot of people who like it and a lot of people who are not in that camp.
Now, is this the final? It's been kind of said that they're not coming back with it, right?
The last thing that I heard was that the ending of season 4 or series 4, it was intentionally made that it could be a satisfactory ending if they chose never to come back to it. But also open-ended enough that if they felt that they had new content to bring or a new story to tell, that they could come back to it.
And they can get Benedict Cumberbatch away from being Doctor Strange long enough and Martin Freeman away from being
everything.
Being in Black Panther movies.
Sure.
Which I was waiting for Infinity War to have those two come together.
I know.
You know, he was in Wakanda.
At least we have the two Sherlocks meet.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, that was fun.
Because as Kevin, you mentioned earlier, Robert Downey Jr., who, of course, is Iron Man, and Doctor Strange, and I loved the fact that they didn't really get along.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
Well, of course. That's beautiful. They're both self-centered egomaniacs. Like, that's literally their character arcs. A lot of the Doctor Strange storytelling was kind of like Iron Man, but magic.
Exactly, yeah.
So, long story short, get to watch these shows. These are really good shows to watch.
So I don't really remember much of what happens from series 1 through 3. Do I need to watch them again before 4, or should I just like watch a recap and will I be good?
I think,
because that's also one of the reasons I'm a little daunted by season 4 is because I don't remember what happened.
One of the big things about the
Abominable Bride.
That's a good bridge from season 3 to season 4. I think it's, the Abominable Bride, or at least the last, 25 minutes.
So, let's see if I remember, and spoiler alert right here. So, you might want to, I'm pretty sure, like I said, season 1 ends with Moriarty revealing who he is in that pool, because he straps a bomb to Watson. Season 2 ends with Holmes dying because Moriarty offs himself and frames him for it. Season 3 ends with that really like dark shadowy figure that is kind of corrupt and has his hand in everything that Sherlock takes out, and so he's arrested for murder, and then he's put on a plane and he's for the Abominable Bride, and then in the Abominable Bride, he's on the plane to go into exile, and he's called back, and they want to know why he's brought back, and it's because, guess who's back?
Right, because Moriarty did some TV broadcast thing, right?
Yeah. So, ta-da! Yeah. So, you know what? I think we should take a break.
All right.
I think that is what we need to do at this time.
Let's do that.
You are listening to We're a Little Behind.
Yeah. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend to ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Campout will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet. Then, on Saturday, enjoy a ride. Meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then the party begins. You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day campout the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
The word rebuild, Merriam-Webster defines it as to make extensive repairs to, reconstruct, to build again after being damaged or destroyed. It's a word we're hearing a lot in the North State, and many people not only are rebuilding their homes, but rebuilding their lives. Palomar Builders has been part of our community for over 30 years, and Jeb Allen and Palomar Builders are announcing a very generous new offer. $15,000 in buyer's credit on any new Palomar home. Your $15,000 can be used towards closing costs or upgrades. It's just one of the many ways Palomar Builders is showing their support of our community in these toughest of times. So through August 26, receive $15,000 in buyer's credit on any new Palomar home. Again, you can use it for closing costs or many, many upgrades to your home. If you'd like more information, simply find the Palomar Builders page on Facebook.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Oh, that music is ominous.
That's creepy. Which season is this one from?
This is just the main score, anthology, so it just kind of like covers all of them.
Oh, all right.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind.
I'm Jen Gomez.
I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Kevin Shoemaker.
And we're going to be talking about American Horror Story.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we are a little behind because the most recent season, we're back in the States now, so there's seasons.
Uh-huh.
The most recent season is subtitled Cult, and it finished airing, but we just haven't been able to get through it yet.
We're about halfway through this last season.
This one's been tough.
It's really tough. We'll jump around here a bit, but like this last season is Cult, and it's about right after the election. So it's a very polarizing story. And my biggest problem with it is that it takes both sides of the political
spectrum.
And it takes the liberals and it takes the conservatives and it makes all the characters one or the other, but they're the extreme of both.
Yeah.
And it's like, so if you're conservative and you see liberals as these tree-hugging, you know, whatever, they're...
tree-hugging, Prius-driving lesbians.
Yeah. That's pretty much what that is.
That's what they are.
That's what it is. And then if you're liberal and you see, you know, conservatives as gun-toting crazies or whatever, that's kind of what this is. They take both and they make them very much the extreme. It pits them against each other. And it's just... You know, I like a good story, and you know, I'm not going to fall anywhere on the political spectrum. I'm just going to say that it's so polarizing that it's just really difficult to watch because it takes away from the scary and just makes it more annoying than mm-hmm. anything.
Almost cartoonishly on the ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've heard things about where the season goes, and I'm excited by it. I just can't get there. Like, so far the previous seasons of the show have been fascinating. Mm-hmm. So if you're unfamiliar with the show, it's an anthology show. So every season is a completely different story, but all the actors are the same. And so they play different roles.
Like a repertory theater.
Yeah, it's the same troupe of actors, if you will, playing all these different characters in each season. And it started with Murder House, which I did not watch because I've...
Initially, but I've you did
been,
eventually.
I've been averse to horror movies and TV shows. It's just not my thing. But you and our friend Vienna were really into it. Mm-hmm. And then when Asylum came out, she would come over and you'd watch it. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This is scary. And I don't like it. But I kind of... peek every once in a while, and then I'm like, okay, the storyline seems interesting. Okay, let's start it again. So I watched the first one, and actually, Asylum is the only season I haven't watched all the way through because
So Murder House is great. It has the twists, the turns, and what's so great is because it is a anthology, and all the actors. There is no guarantee that any character is going to survive past even one episode.
Right, because most shows you can say, oh, well, you know, this danger, this peril that the main character is in, obviously they're going to find a way out of it because they can't kill off the main character.
This isn't Game of Thrones.
Right, Game of Thrones got it big on that, but, like, it was kind of lended to this.
You'd think, oh, well, this is the main character. They're obviously not going to die. Nope. They could die at any moment because even if they're the main, you know, the main focus, just because they're the main focus for the first couple episodes does not mean they're going to make it through the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so wonderful about the show is you never knew where it was going to go.
And so season two, which was Asylum, in my opinion, is the absolute worst of the seasons. Well, and I'm going to pass judgment on that until I get to the end of Cult. But... Asylum was terrible. There was way too much going on.
Yeah, it seemed like they got so far into it and then thought, oh, crap, we have too many storylines. We just got to end them. And so they didn't really give you...
So what happens is it comes out in, like, September because they want to get around Halloween, and usually around Thanksgiving it kind of ends. Well, they go on a break right around the holiday, and when they do this break, it's usually about three episodes before the finale. They went on a break and came back, and then the episode after the break was the cleanup episode. It dropped, and mind you, let me just give you a clue as to what was going on before this break. So they're in an asylum.
Mm-hmm.
There's nuns running the asylum. One is devil-possessed and mm-hmm. demon-possessed. That's enough right there. But sure. Is it? No. There's a doctor there who decides to do experimentation of, like, mutation experimentations.
Isn't he a Nazi doctor?
Yep, that's one of them.
Who is a geneticist, and so he's creating monsters.
Then there's another guy there who could be crazy because he's being abducted by aliens. Turns out the aliens are there.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, if that's not enough, Anne Frank shows up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and they never really clear that up.
There's also, like, the story... Isn't there, like, a present-day story mm-hmm. and a like mm-hmm. a prehistory mm-hmm. story?
Yeah.
So I remember that part. Like, the last few episodes kind of more address the present day storyline
mm-hmm.
that the show kind of dips into every now and then.
Way too much going on.
Yeah.
No. Like, so much going on. There was, like, the rapist murderer mm-hmm. thing. It was, like, all too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then 3 comes in and you get Coven.
And I think the best part that came out of Coven was the two huge stars they got to join their cast, which is Kathy Bates, mm-hmm. because, oh my gosh, Kathy Bates, mm-hmm. and
Angela Bassett.
Mm-hmm. And they play rival witches.
One's voodoo.
Yeah, one's a voodoo witch, and the other one is a She's actually based on a real person.
LaRue or something like that.
And
yeah.
I can't remember her name.
Well, she's from the past, and she comes back because she's cursed to not die.
Right, but she's horribly brutal and mm-hmm. cruel and based on a real person who lived in New Orleans at the time.
And Stevie Nicks.
Who is coming back for the next season, which is Apocalypse.
Which ties in Murder House and Coven.
Interesting.
Yes.
I was, because one of the things that interested me the most was, I've only seen Murder House and Asylum, so this is definitely something that I am personally way behind on.
You'll get through Coven.
Mm-hmm.
You will then immediately enjoy, Freak Show.
Sure.
That one's great.
That one has Neil Patrick Harris.
Ooh.
I mean, he's not a regular, but he's in two episodes. So he plays a guest star, but he's very good.
Awesome.
And then that one's fantastic because there's so many great special effects, and it gives us one of the most scary of the big bads of the season, which is definitely Twisty the Clown.
Mm-hmm. But it also gives us Dandy. Mm-hmm. And Dandy is amazing. And who is it that plays him? I'm bringing
but
it up
he,
here.
But he it's also
Finn Wittrock.
Yeah, not Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, not Finn Wolfhard. Finn Wittrock, who plays such this character is so easy to hate, and he just plays it so well.
Of course, he's a dandy.
He is a dandy. Yeah.
Oh, it's creepy.
Yeah, Freak Show is a very good season.
Then you have Hotel, which in and of itself is not a great season, but it introduces you to Lady Gaga.
Who is amazing.
She's great.
I'm really looking forward to seeing A Star is Born, which is the remake. I mean, this movie's been made like 5 times, but it's her and Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. And she did such a good job in this show that I'm really looking forward to their movie.
Well, and the problem is it's pretty much vampire porn.
It is. It is.
No, like literally the whole season, it's way over-sexualized. And it's all about, like, vampires in the hotel. But the one great one is the character that
Evan Peters
plays, which is very much like a 1920s Walt Disney who is trapped in... He
created the hotel.
Right.
So now his spirit is trapped in the hotel.
And basically the hotel is there as a trap because he was a serial killer.
Oh.
And his spirit is trapped there, and so, yeah, there's this great night, there's this great episode where they have the murder night where it's like...
It's Devil's Night.
Devil's Night, yeah.
So it's him, and it's John Wayne Gacy and Eileen Wuornos.
The Zodiac Killer
is there, but he's in a mask because he was never found out.
Of course.
But he's there. And it's Jeffrey Dahmer mm-hmm. is there, and it's done. It's really cool. Like that whole scene is really awesome. But Evan Peters' performance, and he's in every episode, and he's one of my every season, and
so
he's one of my favorites.
The season after that is Roanoke, correct?
And Roanoke is an awesome season.
Roanoke is my personal favorite. In my opinion, it's the scariest season.
And it's completely different from the other ones. The whole structure of the show has changed for Roanoke.
Yeah, Roanoke, what the great part about Roanoke is that the first half of the season is a show about a couple, and they're doing like a reenactment show.
So you see the actors, and you see the actual people. So the actors within the actors...
Uh-huh.
It's like a
portraying
true TV
real...
kind of reenactment show.
Okay.
And with them being interviewed, the real people. So you have like one character played by two different people each time. The real people like, oh, I was really scared. And then it would go to a reenactment. So
sure.
And then halfway through, it ends. And then it picks up with another TV series, which is the reunion special series, where all the actors and the real people go back to live in the house and it explains why. And then it picks up again with the last episode of the season being about 4 different TV shows. And it sounds crazy, but it is... It's
really cool.
I don't want to give away too much about it because
sure.
It's so great.
Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. It's our favorite. It's our favorite season.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have Cult, which, you know, we're trying to get through. And then the newest season is Apocalypse. And it is coming... I don't even know when it's premiering. I think it's premiering next year. And so it's supposed to be like the end all be all of the show. So
okay,
we'll have to see.
I mean, it is kind of hard to go beyond the apocalypse,
right? Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's pretty, but it brings back Jessica Lange.
Yes, that's true. And she's amazing. So be sure to check out our website at gomezcast.com, and we'll have links to everything we talked about. And you'll get to see our mascot, Walby, in his poster, as usual.
Yep. And thank you to our guest, Kevin Shoemaker, for being here and talking with us for this episode.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
And catch up on all our past episodes on our website or on iTunes or on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Kevin Shoemaker.
Good night.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco & Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco & Brew, open 7 days.